Next case for argument, Victor versus Holder, Mr. Thomas.
Your Honors, good morning. My name is Mark Thomas. I represent the appellants, the Victor family. This is a review of a decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals denying their motion to reopen or reconsider an asylum application based on a charge of blasphemy from an Islamic mullah in Pakistan. This court has ruled in the case of Boyko versus INS, Bejko versus Gonzalez, and Mitrovic versus INS, and all consistently that threats, if they are extreme and the circumstances are extreme, can constitute persecution in and of themselves. That is set forth in our brief. The applicant has laid out several times in his testimony before the court, and not only is.
But I think the problem. I'm sympathetic to your concerns, but the problem is his brother. He was the wedding host, and he's still, you know, in the same place. He's unmolested, and your client lived when he was in Pakistan, hundreds of miles away, and. Now, how probable is it that this mullah was actually going to do something to him?
Very much so, Your Honor, and I'll explain why. This is not Iraq. If Saddam Hussein had a problem with this applicant, the applicant would be dead and his brother and six generations of his family.
But his brother is unmolested. I don't understand you.
But that took place between the applicant and his the mullah. The applicant walked in front of his brother because it was his brother's house, didn't want a disturbance for the family.
But it was the brother's house, and it was the brother who'd authorized the music, right?
That has nothing to do with the confrontation between
them. No, the mullah was obviously upset about the music.
He was, but it had nothing to do with the confrontation.
Well, that has a lot to do with the brother.
No, sir. It has to do with the applicant having a confrontation with him.
The brother had to authorize the music. It's his house.
So? What has that got to do with him being charged with blasphemy? You know, if the gentleman walked up and he told the mullah, we're sorry, we apologize, he intervened on behalf of his brother and everyone there and said, we'll turn it down. And instead of accepting that, they turned this into a blasphemy charge and a religious incident. There is, under Pakistan legal decisions, PLD 12, Abdul Rahman versus the state of Pakistan, the only sentence for blasphemy is death. Now, God knows we would like to have the first information report to provide to the court to verify that thing was actually charged. But you have three independent witnesses, and the last affidavit is from a former member of the National Assembly of Pakistan, who verifies that he saw it, that the police came to the home, that the mullah carried through on the threat. Now, that is consistent with all of the case law in Bejko versus Gonzalez, Boyko versus INS, and Mitrovic. This is a threat to the man's life. It is a serious threat that caused him to flee. It is not mere harassment. There is no other charge in Pakistan except blasphemy by mullah. It is a death sentence.
But all there is, isn't there, is the complaint to the police?
Yes, sir. It's a
first
information report.
The police haven't made any effort to prosecute him or ask for extradition or something?
Well, they did, sir. They came to the house looking for him to seek and obtain him. He was not there. He fled that same day.
But they didn't go. They didn't call up the police. And what? Where is he from? Islamabad or what? Or Rawalpindi?
Rawalpindi, sir. Yes.
That's where he lives.
His brother lived in Rawalpindi. He lived in another city in Islamabad. Yes.
He lived in Islamabad?
Yes, sir.
So the police in Rawalpindi didn't call the police in Islamabad and say, arrest this fellow.
We're not sure whether they did or they're not, Your Honor. He left that same day. He got on an airplane on the advice of his priest and bishop and got on an airplane and fled the country. Once you're in the clutches of the Pakistani police, you will be tortured. And there is only one sentence.
Did he have a house in Islamabad or a family? Or?
Yes, sir. He left everything behind.
Wouldn't the police have... If they were serious about this, wouldn't they have, spoken to his family, gone to his house in Islamabad looking for him or
they
looking
may have
for
done
information?
So. His wife fled, too. She went to live with relatives in another state.
So there was no one home
in
Islamabad.
They subsequently joined up with a family at a later date.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it is a serious charge in Pakistan above and beyond mere harassment. I mean, it's not just a little confrontation between a mullah and an individual over some music playing as the judge portrayed it or the board. It is a matter of life and death to the gentleman that forced him to leave the country and everything he's known.
Is there any record of what happened to his home?
I don't have one, sir. No.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it still exists. I don't know if it was rented.
Okay. Well, you want to reserve the rest of your time, Mr. Kelly?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
the other issue, Your Honor, I'd just like to touch on, and I will do it also in closing, has to do with the daughter. And I believe this court has jurisdiction, as distinguished from the Mongono case. She has a serious problem with, she had brain aneurysm, and she's had several surgeries. It stunted her growth. There is no surgical procedures available in Pakistan. We have documentation from hospitals in Pakistan, from U.S. government officials in Pakistan, and medical officials here. If she goes back to Pakistan, Your Honor, for humanitarian reasons, we'd ask that the court at least remand it to allow the court to consider that issue under 208.13. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Counsel?
Where are you going? Bosk?
May it please the court, Ada Bosk on behalf of the Attorney General. Mr. Victor's underlying asylum claim was duly considered and denied by an asylum officer, an immigration judge, and the board. And Victor did not petition this court for review of that decision. So the underlying asylum claim is not before this court. The only thing that is before this court is the board's denial of his subsequent motion for reconsideration and motion to reopen.
And so do you think we should take this case under advisement until the Supreme Court issues its decision in Kupana?
This court certainly has that option. We don't believe it's necessary in this court, in this particular case, because, as we said in our brief, with regard to the motion for reconsideration, Victor failed to identify a legal or factual issue in the board's underlying decision, and with regard to the motion to reopen, only provided cumulative evidence. So we believe that on the merits of this case, the court could decide, deny the petition of review, but obviously if the court wishes to hold the case in abeyance pending Kuchana, that is within the court's discretion.
I'm taking a little further afield, Ms. Boss. If the IJ and the BIA were aware that Victor faced the possibility of a blasphemy charge, why didn't either one mention the potential penalty of death?
Sure. I can address that, although, again, this petition for review concerns the motion for reconsideration and motion to reopen. But the argument that that blasphemy necessarily results, there are two things. One, the first is that the argument that blasphemy necessarily results in the death penalty is not supported by the record evidence. What the Department of State International Religious Freedom Report for 2006, which is in the record, it begins at AR 243, says there are an assortment of different penalties. Concerning blasphemy, because there was, in order to deal with frivolous blasphemy charges, Pakistan created a special procedure, and that procedure requires additional review than a sort of normal criminal complaints might undergo. And that procedure has been successful. There has been a reduction in the number of false blasphemy charges. No one has been subjected to the death penalty as a result of a blasphemy charge.
Where does that statistic come from?
That is, as I said, it's in the International Religious Freedom Report. I believe there are several sites. AR 245 says discusses the blasphemy law, and it discusses the frivolous, the special procedure that was created to deal with false blasphemy charges. And there are 249, 252, and 256 are all areas where in the report the blasphemy cases are discussed. So I invite the court to look at the International Religious Freedom Report because that's all in there. The citation to Rahman is something that was not offered to either the in the underlying asylum claim, either to the immigration judge or to the board. So what they had before them with on the underlying claim was not just the subjective evidence, but as the court has already indicated, the affidavit from Victor's brother. And that's significant because Victor's brother says in his affidavit that he, Victor's brother, was also the subject of a criminal complaint. He says he could not get that copy of the complaint because it was a blasphemy charge. So we know from that that Victor's brother was also the subject of a blasphemy charge, but he was never arrested, and as the court has already indicated, he continued to reside in Hyderabad, if I pronounced that correctly, without incident. So he is an individual that is similarly situated to Victor. I understand that Victor wishes to impress upon the court his involvement or his confrontation with the cleric, but the immigration judge found that, contrary to what Mr. Victor may believe, he wasn't the only player. That Victor testified before the immigration judge that when the cleric came, a number of people that were attending the wedding ceremony confronted or engaged the cleric. Among them were his brother and a pastor. The brother was equally involved in the physical altercation that took place, and again, he remains in Hyderabad without incident and has never been arrested, notwithstanding his statement in the affidavit that he too is the subject of a blasphemy charge.
What credit do you give to both the priest and the bishop that he should leave the country?
Well, that's what they said. They said that based upon what the brother told them, they believe that he should have left the country. I mean, that's obviously their opinion. The motion for reconsideration doesn't, again, did not identify an error, a legal or a factual error in the board's underlying decision, and that simply was that given the fact that his brother remained in Pakistan without incident, and given the objective evidence concerning Pakistan's treatment of blasphemy charges, that it simply wasn't sufficient to establish asylum. And again, in his motion for reconsideration, Victor does not address or identify a legal or factual error in that underlying decision, and thus the board...
Well, excuse me for a moment. I'm sorry. But the IJ's conclusion that Victor failed to define a protected ground for persecution isn't tenable. I mean, it's obvious that he claimed persecution on account of being a member of the Christian minority.
If I can address that, Your Honor, in, again, two ways. That, again, relates to the underlying asylum claim, which isn't before this court. And what the what the immigration judge said was that Victor's claim was one of religious persecution. We understood, the immigration judge understood that, the board understood that. The question is then, does that same religious claim also constitute a number of other on account of grounds? And the idea is, if it fits directly within religious the religious persecution, the idea of a religious persecution, then there is some other group, some other either particular social group or political opinion that must be identified by the petitioner, and he did not. His claim was one based on religious persecution, and the immigration judge and the board duly considered that claim based on the prospect of a blasphemy complaint in Pakistan, and simply found that that he failed to show a well-founded fear of persecution. But again, the what's before this court is the motion for reconsideration and the motion to reopen. With regard to the motion to reopen, we'll just say that it was cumulative. The letter that was submitted from Gill merely restated what the brother said, that is, that there was a complaint. But we know that the brother remained, had never been arrested, and remained in Hyderabad without incident. And the other thing that Gill said was that the police wished to speak to Victor so that they could investigate the blasphemy charge. That's not persecution. That is their law enforcement activity. And again, given the brother's similarly situated circumstances, the board reasonably found that the letter from Gill was simply cumulative, and as a total, there was no prima facie evidence that Victor was eligible for asylum, that the proceedings should be reopened. With regard to Victor's daughter, we would suggest that perhaps the appropriate forum for that would have been to present that to the board in a motion to reopen. That has never been addressed in any of the briefs to this court. It is new information that is never presented to the agency below, and that is the appropriate forum for such a claim. So for those reasons and the reasons set forth in our brief, we ask that the court deny the petition for review.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Bosk. And Mr. Thomas, how much time does he have? 4 minutes.
Your Honors, let me go back to counsel's argument about the blasphemy charge and claiming
But there is this procedural issue. Why wasn't the Board of Immigration Appeals decision appealed?
Initially appealed? Because I was in a hospital.
Pardon?
Well, it was appealed. I didn't file a brief. Because I was in a hospital.
No, file an appeal to this court.
I was in a hospital. I had 5 surgical procedures on my back and my hip.
Can't you get an extension of time or something?
Judge, I wasn't any... I honestly wasn't in any position to do anything at any time. A lot of things happened. For 11 months, I didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
That is why I didn't file the appeal. Mm-hmm. So the only other remedy I could seek was a motion to reconsider and a motion to reopen with a brief. And in all fairness, I did address in the motion to reconsider and the motion to reopen issues that the Board of Immigration Appeals and the immigration judge failed to consider. 1, the blasphemy charge and the significant impact. Pakistan legal decisions studied by the Supreme Court in 1993, PLD number 12, Abdul Rahman versus the state. The Supreme Court of Pakistan stated the only penalty for blasphemy is death. The government, in their own argument, under the 2006 reports, have confirmed that there are several hundreds of false blasphemy charges. It only confirms the circumstances against the applicant. To the brother's issue and to the applicant, at page 00293, 294, 295, it is the mullah is the gentleman who told the applicant, I'm going to make charges against you. At 007157, the mullah told the applicant, you are making fun of Islam and you are calling the prophet bad names. At 00177, he threatened and told all of the other persons who were with him that we are going to bring blasphemy charges with the police. And at 0018...
The motion for reconsideration just seems to be the substitute for the appeal you didn't file. There doesn't seem to be any basis. I mean, if an appeal is untimely, you can't make it timely by filing a motion for reconsideration.
Your Honor, my appeal...
That completely disrupts the whole system of appellate procedure.
The appeal to the Board of Immigration Appeals was timely.
No, I'm talking about the appeal to this court.
There was no appeal to this court. I was not in a position to do so.
But I don't think that's a basis for filing an untimely appeal in the guise of an appeal from a denial of a motion to reconsideration.
I'm not. I came through the back door. And by coming through the back door, I did present legal argument to the Board of Immigration Appeals showing their error, or at least pointing out factual and legal errors that they made. They overlooked court decisions decided by this court stating that threats in and of themselves are compelling and extreme circumstances and of a serious nature, which are attempted to be carried out as they were in this case when the police came to arrest the appellant and at least talk to him and bring him into charges, are in and of themselves constituting persecution. And that is the basis of the applicant's claim. If he goes back and he goes into custody of the police, it is axiomatic that the man will be tortured. That is the law of Pakistan. It is a torturing state. Unless you have several hundred thousands of dollars, you're not going to get out of custody.
Your actual request, then, is to remand for reconsideration.
Yes, sir, it is. And at least allow me the opportunity to bring the issue of the daughter for humanitarian relief.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Thomas and Ms. Bosk. Last case.